Oh, I'm on. Okay.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. As you speak, 100 billion galaxies were born in the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart and everything you've made. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I.
If you guys know it, sing with me.
So you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science will follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all would mean to nature, so will I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so will I. So will I. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. The rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all our praises still fall shy, then we'll sing again 100 billion salvation. You chased down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life, so I can find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart and everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart 8 billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. Amen.
Thank you, Will. Isn't that an amazing song? I don't believe I've ever heard that song before. But, boy, I want to say that. Do you remember the key words? So will I. As we see creation, as we see the examples of believers throughout history, giving it all, as we see Jesus giving it all, so will I. Well, it is good to be back home. So happy to be with you today, to be back with. Yesterday, as I was driving, I don't remember which stretch of the highway I was on. Oh, I was on 101 coming down. So thankful that our AV team faithfully records the messages and gets them on our website, which I'm thankful for our web team. By Sabbath afternoon, you can pretty much rely on it. And so I had downloaded the message from last Sabbath from Pastor Janine, and I downloaded the message the Sabbath before from Pastor Roy. And what a blessing listening to that. And I loved, Pastor Roy, how you called this your nation, our nation, as he led you looking at the people of Judah in their time of crisis. And what did they do in their time of crisis? They got together with their people, and God worked in that situation as they sought him together. I was touched by that. And so it's good to be back with my people. So happy to be worshiping. And what a time we've had worshiping together. Would you please bow with me and pray as we seek God to speak to our hearts. Father, we thank you for being here today with us. We thank you that you have made us a family in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that you have given us your word to instruct us and guide us in the way, and your Holy Spirit to empower and guide us and lead us as we carry out your word. And so now we ask through your word that your Spirit would speak to us, move us, and transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. Imagine this. Imagine that just like you probably always dreamed of for the last, 17 weeks, they outlawed Old Town Road. Are you shocked? Imagine, maybe you that wouldn't be good news to you. Have you heard that song? You have to have heard that song around the community, Old Town Road. It's everywhere. Imagine that it was that. But now I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine if you were the song's creator, Lil Nas X, the things you learn at church if you didn't know them already. Lil Nas X. Imagine if you were him. And his partner in the most popular performances of it that are streaming everywhere, and found out that this song that had raised you up from nowhere to being known around the world, in the case of Billy Ray Cyrus, this song which had taken you from career nothingness essentially to a resurrection where now You are known. You're on top of it. You're popular. You're getting money. You're getting streams. You're getting credibility back and everything. And it was taken away from you. And you were told you can no longer sing this song. You can no longer stream this song. It can no longer be played on TikTok. It's over. It's done. I can imagine Lil Nas X and Billy Ray Cyrus being brought before the Council of Genuine Cowboys. They're all actors, of course. And there they're being told by the head Genuine Cowboy, especially focuses right in on Lil Nas X, and says, you will no longer sing this song. And Lil Nas X says, but it's been 17 weeks on top of the Hot 100 Billboard chart. I'm going to ride till I can't no more. And he says, son, you can't no more. And then he says, but come on. I've been singing it. It's made my career. It's made my life. My future's ahead of me. This is everything. Can't nobody tell me nothing. Son, we just did. You're going to stop singing this song. Now, it seems like a lot of you might not know about this. This kid, and I'm not sure how old of a kid, I think he's like 20, this kid was unknown. And he pushed and pushed and pushed, putting this song that he made, videos of it, pushed it on social media, pushed it everywhere, has gotten collaborators of all kinds, and it has raised him from nothingness to everything. How easy do you think it would be for him to hear, you can no longer do this song? You can no longer put this song out. This song is over. How much do you think he would just lie down and take that and say, okay then, I'm done. You said it. I'll stop. You know he couldn't do that. You know he would be thinking, he would be looking, he would be scheming for any way that he could continue to do what had changed his life, had made him what he is. Now I want you to go back 2,000 years almost, and I want you to open up to Acts chapter 14, and I want you to witness something here, that it is amazing in the history of God's people, that I think that we can learn a powerful lesson, a powerful thing about how we live our lives and what God wants to do in us. Now, I want you to look at the background. Think about the background of this chapter. This is Acts chapter 4. Acts is the book that tells the story of the early church after the resurrection of Jesus and how it took off, how the Holy Spirit was poured out, how they changed the world, as the scriptures say, as they turned the world, the then known world, upside down in the name of Jesus. So here's how it goes. After the crucifixion of Jesus, when all their dreams were dashed and they had huddled together in the upper room, after they had learned that Jesus had risen from the dead, after they had spent time together in that upper room in unity and in prayer, after the Holy Spirit was poured out in power and they spoke in tongues, they spoke the Word of God, 3,000 people born into the kingdom of God in one day and baptized. Can you imagine the feelings that they had? Can you imagine the excitement that they had? Can you imagine the joy that they had as everything was just opening up, everything was taking off in ways that they had never imagined possible, but just like Jesus had said. They watched him ascend. The Holy Spirit was poured out. And then after the day of Pentecost, they were going to the temple and praising God, bearing witness to Jesus. And the Lord was adding to the body of believers, people who would believe in Jesus every day, such as would be saved. And then in Acts chapter 3, you get to an amazing and wonderful experience. Peter and John go to the temple to pray. And there on the front porch of the temple, on the steps leading up to the door of the temple, they see a man that perhaps they had seen before, perhaps they had noticed him or not, but he had been there begging day after day after day, crippled, unable to walk. And this time, he gets their attention, and he stops them, and he says, could you give me some money? And they make the little speech that's immortalized in song and in story. Silver and gold we don't have, but what we have, we will give you. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. And to the amazement of everybody around, and there were people around, he got up and he began to walk and began to leap and to praise God and to tell everyone that he could what had happened to him. He was jumping, leaping, praising God, and the people were amazed, and they glorified God. They gathered around Peter and John, and Peter gives one of the few recorded sermons in the Bible, and he tells them that this was done in the name of Jesus. It's because of Jesus who was crucified not that long ago, and who now rose again, and now is in heaven, that this man is walking in front of you, and people listen. They listened to what Peter said about Jesus because they saw what Jesus had done. And the scriptures record that they believed. The powers that be were not happy, and so they came. They didn't just send emissaries this time. The leaders came, and the captain of the temple guard, they came, and they laid hands on Peter and John, arrested them, took them into custody, and they didn't even deal with them that night. As we were studying it this morning, I was amazed that it says actually after Peter and John were seized is when it says that the people believed in Jesus. When they saw what it could cost them, this was how powerful the experience was. They believed. So they put them in jail overnight, and the next day they dealt with them. And then they hauled him in, and the bottom line is, they asked him, in whose name, in what name did you do this? And of course, Peter and John said, it was the name of Jesus, whom you crucified. How bold they were. And the leaders, the Sadducees, Caiaphas himself, John, the kind of the co-high priest, and the others, the top leaders said, do not speak his name again. They had already conferred. They realized because of everybody's amazement at what had happened and how it was undeniable what had happened in this healing, they couldn't do anything, but they emphasized it again. And they threatened them. The Bible doesn't say what they threatened them with, but they threatened them. And they said, you do not speak in the name of Jesus anymore. Peter and John basically told them, good luck with that because we have to listen to God. But then, this is what I want us to notice that they did after that. Verse 23, it reminds me so much of the experience of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. And being let go, they went to their own. Where did they go? Just like Pastor Roy emphasized to you, when they were faced with all of these enemies, they called the people together to pray. And so Peter and John, being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. This is verse 23 of Acts chapter 4. And so what was their response? What was their response? They poured out their hearts to God in prayer. Just like Pastor Janine talked about Hannah, who came to the temple. She poured out her heart in her time of need. And so the believers gathered together, poured out their heart to God. You may remember if you were here when we talked about the prayer of David. And as they come to God, they don't come saying, we've done this and this for you, God. They come to God saying, here's who you are, God. And that's why we're coming to you. They said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. And then they quoted his word to him, talking about how the people were coming against Jesus, how the people were trying to stop the kingdom of Jesus, the manifestation of the reign of the lordship and kingship of Jesus. They recount his death and resurrection, his trial. And then in verse 29, they say, now look, Lord, on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. I want you to contemplate this prayer. Now look, Lord, on their threats. I'm not sure what I would have prayed if I was them, myself being in that same situation. You know, when things get hard, when danger presents itself, my prayers would tend to go, Lord, look on their threats and please protect me. Maybe even, please help me stay strong and not get discouraged. Please help me hang in there. Please help me still have a smile on my face and hope in my heart. Please do that, Lord. Get me through this, Lord. Can anyone resonate with that? You ever been in a time when your life was going great, when things were just lining up? You have the job that you want. Your family is just in a season where people are getting along, loving each other, helping each other, supporting each other. Your spiritual life, you've been able to day after day meet with the Lord. You're part of a small group. You're fellowshipping. You're just amazed. I'm coming off of my camp meeting experience. 10 days in a row in a small group experience studying the Bible together, going through the Gospel of John with people who want to understand the meaning of these stories of encounters with Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? And then, as you're building up these positive experiences, just like the early church, something comes along and tries to pull the plug. A health crisis, a family fight, people bugging you at school, an assignment you had forgotten about. All of these kinds of things just come and try and pull the plug on all that's been giving you joy, all these wonderful experiences that seem to have been piling on top of each other. And what do you pray for? What do you pray for? What did they pray for? Now, Lord, look on their threats and don't just get us through this. Don't just help us to hang in there. And grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Can you believe that prayer in the face of those threats and that experience of being jailed and told to shut up about Jesus, stop talking about him? Grant that we may be bold. And then they go on, by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. These people want to keep lifting up Jesus. These people want to keep telling people about Jesus. They didn't ask God to take away the threats. They didn't ask God to take away the consequences. They asked, please give us the boldness, give us the power to keep talking about Jesus, to keep doing acts in the name of Jesus, to keep loving and helping and healing in the name of Jesus. Don't let anything stop us. And you know what happened? Oh, if they were shaken by what they were threatened with, now they got a real shaking because the Holy Spirit was poured out with such power that the building where they were was shaken again. And they went out and they did speak the name of Jesus boldly. They testified to who he is, to what he did, and what he's doing right now. They did it boldly, just like they asked in their prayer, because the Holy Spirit came down upon them. You know, we often focus on Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, as a one-time type of thing, but it wasn't a one-time thing. When Peter and John and their friends came to the Lord in the name of Jesus and asked him, give us what it takes, despite the threats, to keep talking about Jesus, no matter what it costs, their prayer was answered. We talk about gathering to ask God for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But today, as we think about this experience of the early church, of the early believers in Jesus, family of ours, I want to go back one step as I pray. I want to pray for the desire that drove them to the prayer that they prayed. And then I want to pray. Actually, you know, in this prayer, they never asked for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They asked for what the Holy Spirit would do. And guess what? God poured out the Holy Spirit. As I think about that desire to bring people to Jesus, as I think about that desire to speak for Jesus, as I think about that desire to tell people about Jesus, it sobers me up. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. But how many of us wake up every day, or even most days, saying, God, who can I tell about Jesus today? I'll tell you the honest truth. I don't. I want to. I want to tell people about Jesus, but it's not the first thing I think of in the morning. How many of us lose sleep sometimes from just aching for the lost who don't know Jesus to come to know Jesus? I don't, but I want to. Are you with me? Am I the only one? Think about it. Think about how filled with this desire they were, and how the things that we witness as we read in Scripture, the miracles, the going forth of the Word of God, the people coming to Jesus, and we want to, and we pray for those things to happen. When it all stemmed from their great desire to take the Jesus that they had experienced and share him and bear witness of him to the people around them. And this was their prayer. And these are the things that happened as a consequence as the Holy Spirit was poured out. You know what? Some of you realize this, but not everyone. Probably most of you don't realize this. Over the last few weeks in our community, young men and women have been going out sharing the name of Jesus. You ever heard of California Youth Rush? Have you guys heard of California Youth Rush? You've heard of that? Yes. California Youth Rush happens all over the state. Young men and women going out with literature and smiles and prayers, telling people about Jesus and giving them the opportunity to learn more about Jesus. As I seek for that desire to share Jesus to be stoked in my heart, one of the things that's powerful is not just to read stories from a long time ago, almost 2,000 years ago, but to hear stories of how that is happening today. And so I've invited some young men. I guess all they could spare was young men today. Where are you guys moved on to? You in the Bay Area now? Yeah, they're over in the Bay Area now. But they sent some to us to sell some stories, some present-day stories of the gospel of Jesus and what he's doing. And so I just met these gentlemen this morning, and I would like to invite them to come up. One, come up, all of you. Right there. A few weeks ago, you might remember, I lined up my invisible brothers and sisters here. It was the blame line where my parents would go, "Did you do it? Did you do it?" But we are not going to do that this morning. And so what I want you to do, if you would share briefly stories that let me and this group know that Jesus is alive today answering prayers of people who want to share him.
All right, I'll try to make this quick.
Give your name.
My name is Robert Umali. Hey, Robert. From Reading. I knocked on this one door, and the man immediately invited me in, and he was a very talkative man. And so I just sat there and let him, you know, converse with me. And after a while, I was able to, I got worried, you know, because he was just taking up so much time. And I was able to turn the conversation around to more spiritual things, and I asked him what kind of spiritual background he has. And he said that he was very curious about different denominations, and he was having Bible studies with different denominations. And just as he said that, Pastor knocked on the door, and it was Pastor Tracy. He just happened to have switched Bible studies from Wednesdays to Thursdays, and just that week. So that was a divine timing.
So this is a random door that you knocked on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every door is random, I guess. But yeah. And he was able to, you know, pray with us, and then we just started. I didn't know what to do, so I just stayed for Bible study with him. And just that day, it happened to be about the eighth fundamental belief, which is the great controversy that they've been going through. And so I was able to pull out one of my books, The Great Controversy, and show it to the men of the house. And it was fantastic because he was like, oh, this is awesome. And then just as I was started to tell him about it, more knocks on the doors. On the door, and these four Mormon women showed up. Apparently, the Bible studies had overlapped now. And so, man was ecstatic. He was so happy. He was like, we're just all going to have a giant Bible study. He didn't understand everything. Yeah, but so, you know, it was a little bit tense between some of us, but nonetheless, we were just started to have like a Bible study, and then the man was like, wait, you gotta go, don't you, to me. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, wait, I'll donate for that Great Controversy book. And oh, wow. So he came back with 20, so I was able to leave him the Great Controversy and the Answers book. The Answer book is like a question and answer book that explains a lot of questions that people have about, and a lot of our fundamental beliefs.
Praise the Lord.
And so it was just divine timing that I was able to show up first, then the SDA pastor, and then the Mormon woman. I don't know what happened after I left, but I assume they had a Bible study about the Great Controversy with book in hand. So.
Wow. God showed up. It's amazing. Did you pray that morning and ask God to show up as you ministered?
Yeah, it was my last day of the second or the first half, so I was just really praying that day for something incredible
Who's
to happen.
Who's this gentleman?
My name is Jeffrey Grace, and I am from Reno, Nevada. I'm a ways away. But I had been having a rough morning, and I started off only sharing two books with people that needed them. And so I prayed, God, if I don't get any more books out to souls that need them, your will be done. And I was kind of discouraged because getting books out, it's kind of exciting for me because I'm able to share things with people that will change their lives for the better.
Yeah.
And so I'm walking, and it's my first drop after our lunch break. And I knock on this door, and this lady pulls open the door. She's like, hi, I've been expecting you. I'm like, what? And she was like, no, I prayed, God, send me somebody that needs encouragement that will knock on my door. And I'm taken aback. I'm like, all right, that works. And so I'm talking to her, and her name is Kathleen, and she's a Christian. And so I'm really excited to meet another Christian. She's like, God tells me to tell you to be strong and of great courage, for the Lord your God goes before you. And I meditated on that all day long. And it really uplifted my spirit. And I was walking with my head held high. And I ended off the day sharing 20 books with people that needed them. And I got those books into homes with people that had been drug abusers, that had done things to themselves that shouldn't have been done, and they had books that would change them for the better and share the love of Christ through that literature.
Amen.
And so God answered my prayer and hers simultaneously.
Wow. He's good at what he does, isn't he? Go ahead. And you are?
And hello, church. My name is Neil Benson. I am from Vallejo, California, and this is my fourth summer doing Youth Rush. It's been a big blessing every summer. So my story, this is one of my favorites. I was in a pretty rough territory. Now, we don't always go to, you know, the nicest places with the fresh-cut lawn. Sometimes there are places that have been gone over many times. There have been a lot of door-to-door salesmen trying to sell vacuums and things like that. So people, oftentimes, you'll get a vibe from a community that they're just not happy you're there. And I've had a lot of doors where they open the door, they say, not interested, bam. And they'll shut the door on you. And you can get many doors like that. So I was praying, okay, Lord, it's one of those quick places. I pray that I thank you for the quick rejections. I hope, please help me to meet the people that need these books as soon as possible and give me the words to say to be able to reach them before they slam that door. And I make it to this one door, and something we're trained to do is, you know, look at what's outside the door. See what kind of clues you can get about the person, what kind of interesting things you can make conversation about. And this this door had a van in front of it that had 8, like, parking stickers. It's all for the same place, it's just for different years, and they looked like a rainbow. They were all different colors. Like, oh, that's nice. So I knock on this door, and this woman, this older lady, I just hear this lady say, like, who's that at there at my door? Hold on. Let me get this. And then she opens the door, and it's this old lady. She's like, oh, not interested. And as she was shutting the door, I said, okay, ma'am, but by the way, I like your parking stickers. She goes, oh, you noticed those? I said, yes, they're very nice. And she says, oh, yes, well, actually, I've worked as a government official for the city, and so that's why I have all these parking stickers. I said, oh, really? And then I noticed she had, like, a sign on her door that said, a friendly neighborhood dog lives here. It's like, oh, so you have that kind of dog? She says, like, I do have that kind of dog. I said, oh, wow, so nice. So I was able to make friends with this lady, and she said, okay, all right, what are you doing here? Go ahead and tell me. I said, oh, my name's Neil. We're students working toward a scholarship. We're Christian students. She says, oh, so you're not a Jehovah's Witness? I say, like, no, I'm not. She says, oh, okay, come in. So she opens the door wide. This lady that's about to slam the door on me. And so I go inside, and I see two more old ladies there looking at me from the kitchen, and they have their Bibles on the table and a little books right next to them. And she said, yeah, you actually interrupted us in the middle of our Bible study. What we do every week is we study the Bible, and we have a devotional that we study alongside it, and we choose a new devotional every week. I said, like, oh, really? Well, I have 3 devotionals here that you'll really like. So I was able to show her our Steps to Christ, our Christ's Object Lessons, and Desire of Ages. And she was able to get all 3 of those for her Bible study group. So went from a door almost slammed to talking about flags to getting 3 of our spiritual books into a home for Bible studies.
Praise the Lord. Amen. And Amen. By deduction, you're David.
David, yes. My name is David. I'm from Vacaville, California. And I just wanted to share, like, my experience with Youth Rush in general. This is my second summer, and it changed my life. I just came to the Adventist Church last year in March, and I wouldn't still be here if it wasn't for Youth Rush. I know that for a fact. And I'm just so grateful that, like, there are more young people, like, right here, like, 16, 19, my brother Neil, 21, like me, just going out here just trying to tell people about Jesus, not just talking about it amongst ourselves. And, like, it's just huge, just like the story right here. Like, wow, Paul, Peter, just really telling the people, going out there and just trying to do more than just talk about it, just going. Just like Jesus tells us to go into every nation. And if it wasn't for this, I wouldn't still be here. I got baptized after my first summer last year, praise God. And I just encourage all of you just to keep on going. Keep on spreading that good message.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. How do you feel about these guys and what they're doing? How much longer do you have this summer that you're going to be out?
We have about another 2 weeks in Hayward. We're in Hayward right now.
All right. Yeah. I would like to pray with you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this group and all the others that they represent who are going out day after day into our communities witnessing for Jesus, putting themselves on the line facing rejections and opportunities both, Father, and seeking you the whole way. So, Father, we ask for your hand of protection on them. But above all that, we ask the same prayer that we've been reading here, Father, that you would give them boldness, courage, and everything that they need to keep on talking for Jesus. And Father, please, we want that for ourselves too. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate you coming and sharing your stories. God be with you. All right. Finally, I want to introduce you to my grandson. This is Andre. I was going through my Instagram after I had been praying, asking God for a story for this message. And this is what I found. Just before I do that, I want to read this prayer again. Okay, so now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. As I'm looking at my Instagram, I see our daughter Tiffany has this post. Of course, I notice the cute, adorable face first. It's getting older and more mature looking, by the way. It's remarkable to watch. But here's what she says. I'll make it bigger so that you can read it too. His prayer tonight. Dear Jesus, help the people know about you. Help us not be scared to tell them. Help us to help them how they need it. In your name, we pray. Amen. If I had tried to translate the prayer that we've been reading in Acts 4 into a kid's language, I don't think I could have done it much differently than this. Really touched my heart. And as we close, I'm asking myself, I'm asking us, can we embrace this prayer for ourselves? As we've heard these stories of what happens when, like the people of Judah long ago, you show up where God calls you to do what God called you to do, and the miracles happen. To do this, could you join me in asking God to do this in you? Could you join me in asking God to do this in me? To actually pray. This is a very disruptive prayer, by the way, to life as usual. Life as usual is, thank you, God, we basically have everything we need. We really appreciate that. Just help us keep on having everything we need. This is disruptive to that. Dear Jesus, help the people know about you. Help us not be scared to tell them. Help us to help them how they need it. In your name we pray, amen. Are you willing to pray that prayer with me today? To say, Lord, open my mouth. Open my heart. Open my mind to see what's at stake here. The people that I'm taking for granted around me all over are in this struggle between God and the devil over their future. People around me are slogging through life not knowing that they have a Savior who loves them, who's put everything on the line so that He can enter their lives, be their friend, and save them in His kingdom. Give me the desire to reach them, to tell them about Jesus. Give me the passion to speak of Jesus, to make sure that everyone in my sphere of influence knows that someone, their Creator, came across the universe because He wants them in their in His family, because He wants to be their friend, because He wants to heal them, He wants to help them. And He can. Will you join me in that prayer today? If you want to join me, and this is what we're praying for, we are asking God for the desire and the passion that drove the disciples to pray the prayer that they prayed, asking for boldness to speak the name of Jesus. We're praying, asking God to change our hearts from being cold and apathetic to being on fire to give His message. This is a costly prayer. It's no accident that so many of the prophets, you read the little minor prophet books, they begin with the burden of the Lord to this prophet. Because at the same time, and this is an amazing paradox of how we're called to live, at the same time as we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength, at the same time as we're called to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, at the same time our hearts are called to reverberate with the longing of God as he sees people who are lost, wandering, hopeless, aimless. And we're called to open our hearts to hurt like the heart of God, aching for them to come home to him, aching for them to know his love, and knowing that we are called to be the channel of that by our acts, by the way we live our lives. But I hope you've picked up, and this is the thing that I've picked up in this story too, that's uncomfortable. I really like praying the prayer that says, God, help me to be so loving and kind and to do so many good things for people that they ask me, what's your secret? What is it that makes you so nice and loving? And I want to tell you that if we had to settle for that, that would be okay. You know, because God wants to make us loving, kind, compassionate, and caring, attending to the physical needs and the emotional needs of people, and they will ask. But that's not what the disciples were asking here. They weren't asking for God to make it so that people would ask them more often. They were asking for God to open their own mouths and make them bold, coming out of a desire to introduce people to Jesus. If you would like to join me in that prayer, would you stand with me as we pray together and ask God to change our hearts? Father, it's been incredible to be loved by you. You've been so good to us. You've provided for our needs. And above all, when we became aware that our sins had separated us from you, that without you that we are without hope, that you presented Jesus to us. And we've been able to trust him. We've been able to find in him our Savior, our Lord, our friend. And now, Father, we come to you asking that you take away the satisfaction that we have simply in being your children and put in us a hunger to help others come to faith in Jesus and know who he is and desire him and have him in their lives too. Forgive us for being contented as people have passed by us, not knowing you, not knowing your love, lost from your family. And so whatever it costs, Father, we ask you to do this in us. Make us not scared to talk about Jesus. Make it our delight to talk about Jesus. Make it our passion to talk about Jesus. Wake us up in the morning with hearts just begging, how can I talk about Jesus with someone today so that they can know him too? Oh, Father, do that in my life. Do that in the lives of my friends here. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't ask Will to do this, and I don't have the words on the screen, but I'll sing, and if you can sing with me, sing with me. It's been good to be together in the presence of our God. We've enjoyed a taste of heaven right down here on earth. Sod. May his word abide within us. May his love control our hearts. May his joy hold us together, even when we are apart. You should know this part. Till we meet. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. Right down the hall, we have lunch. If you want to hang out here a little bit and love on each other, go ahead and do that. But I would encourage you to head down the hall, because we can sit and eat together. We can even talk about Jesus together and get in practice, get comfortable with talking about Jesus. All right, you have a good Sabbath. It's so good to be home. May God bless you.